Chapter 5. Tyrell stood amid a field of knee-high grass in a midnight downpour. Cold mud squished between his toes as they flexed nervously. Black clouds blocked the celestial lights, and the heavy rain beat down all other sounds. I must take shelter, but not from the storm, he realized. Unless I hide, he will find me. Desperation drove Tyrell to flee, but he managed only one step before a shadowy figure appeared in his path. He spun, but found a second man-like shape condensing from the darkness. A third and fourth figure emerged, blocking his flight from every direction but one. Yet even that path was closed. Not by a looming shadow, but the dim form of a boy perhaps half Tyrell's age. The five figures, including the boy, stood quiet and still in the night rain, and Tyrell knew they were dead. The beating of the rain became the pounding of Tyrell's heart as he sat bolt upright. Confused at first to find himself huddled among straw-packed crates and barrels, he soon recognized the cramped cart where he'd slept each night of the 2 weeks since departing Lijan. Though slept applied only in the loosest sense, due to the fearful dreams that plagued him. Tyrell sat panting until his breath slowed. Then he lay back down in the straw and tried to find rest again. The sweet grass smell and the chirping of insects in the night-blanketed countryside lulled him, but sleep refused a second visit. Soon the eastern sky lightened. The curt speech of Aesok's men readying the four wagons and two carts for another day's travel bestirred Tyrell, and he dragged himself out to join the work. Before the sun's face hung over the horizon, the horses had drawn the wains out of the roadside field where the caravan had spent the night. The slab-paved streets of Lijan had given way to gravel roads a day out from the capital. Tyrell walked beside the first rumbling cart in the late spring air, the better to keep himself awake. "This feels more like dreaming than my dreams," Tyrell mused. The reality of having fled his birthplace for the capital, only to be whisked across the length of Shanmar in service to a caravan chief, had yet to sink in. Raucous laughter from the wagon before him, the fourth and last, where the soldiers were quartered, pulled Tyrell from his reverie. And just in time, for he spotted a large stone in his path an instant before he'd have tripped on it. He stagger-stepped over the rock, catching a harsh look from the cart driver seated above him, but staying on his feet. Tyrell quickened his pace to avoid the leather-skinned Nashin's gaze. "I hope those soldiers can do more than joke and gamble," thought Tyrell. Not that he had standing to complain. His own testimony of Tral raiders had caused the generals to send troops north, reducing the caravan's promised platoon to a mere 6. Adding the Nashin guards brought the full strength of their protection to 10. Will that be enough against Ged? Despite the hundreds of miles between Tyrell and his forsaken village, he couldn't dispel the crawling fear that his tormentor still hunted him. A horse's startled whinny was the only warning Tyrell got before the beast of burden reared up on him. Somehow, he had gotten ahead of the cart and drifted in front of it. His fatigue-clouded mind froze as the massive front hooves bore down on him. Nimble hands grabbed Tyrell's shoulders and hoisted him aside bodily. The cart horse's feet stamped the ground where the youth had stood, sending tan gravel spraying. A righteous curse arose from the driver. "Look at me," a voice that hardly sounded older than Tyrell said in the trade tongue. Tyrell complied and beheld the fair face of the Gen. The agate eyes shaded by his auburn curls seemed to pin the young man to the spot as they stilled his tongue. "Are you hurt?" the Gen asked. Tyrell stood before a creature he'd known only from whispered lore until 2 weeks ago. Those tales, and the Gen's penchant for solitude, had kept them estranged. Even Falthrice had taken pains to ensure the Gen's absence when teaching Tyrell. But now the apparition out of myth had saved his life. "No," Tyrell muttered. "Just tired." The Gen cupped Tyrell's chin with fine fingers and inspected the boy's face. "At first I thought you'd been disciplined by Aesok, but your eyes bear dark rings for want of sleep." "I work to stave off the back of the quartermaster's hand," said Tyrell, "so sleep must often wait." A dark look crossed the Gen's pale face. "How old are you?" 16 as of the day we left Nar Shias, said Tyrell. meaning you were only 15 during the first half of our expedition thus far. Tyrell nodded. The Gen took Tyrell's wrist and started after the caravan, which had pulled several yards ahead as they talked. Come with me. They marched past Wayne's horses and the laughter of more than one driver to the third wagon in line. The Gen helped Tyrell up onto the first step and opened the door. The mingled scents of pipe tobacco, burned wine, and blood flowed out. Continuing west on the Royal Road for 2 more weeks will bring us to the hill country, Lord Varys said from within. There, we take the new northern route into the Xiankan to Kessia and... Varys and Falthrice looked up from a map spread on the central table as the Gen brought Tyrell in. Back from fraternizing with the plebs already, Zebrin? Varys chuckled. Is something the matter with the boy? Falthrice asked more gravely. The Gen led Tyrell past the table where both men sat and laid him down on the cushioned bench. He's exhausted, Zebrin said. That despot of a quartermaster is working the boy to death. I know Aesok is a hard man, said Varys, but a just one in his way. I wouldn't have extended his contract for this mission if I thought otherwise. Is it just to make a boy of barely 16 slave away until he's trampled by horses? The Gen shot back. Falthrice's face darkened. Shall I fetch Evelyn? There's no need, said Zebrin, but only because I happened upon the scene of the near calamity. Had I been a second later, we'd be holding a roadside funeral. No harm done. Varys placed the stem of his long clay pipe between his lips. I'll have a word with Aesok later. For now, let's get back to the pressing matter of navigation. The Gen gave a muted scoff and turned back to Tyrell. Forget them. You must rest now. Primal fear stirred Tyrell to sit up. My duties, Zebrin gently pushed him back down. We'll be seen to. You have my word. Now, sleep. I cannot, Tyrell admitted. The Gen's face softened. I suffered the same affliction as a child. Nothing helped until my mother began petitioning Fertha for me. The same rite may aid one of the clay tribe. Before Tyrell could object, the Gen closed his eyes and uttered a string of melodious unknown words. They were the last Tyrell heard before Fertha sent him sleep.